Can somebody say amen to the fact that God is faithful? How about God is strong? Yeah, a little less, but there. How about forever God is with us? There we go. Nice job. That's why we lift our hearts right there. Take my heart, I lay it down at the feet of you who's crowned. Take my life, I'm letting go. I lift it up to you who's throne.
Only you, Lord.
It's just you and me here now. Only you and me here now. How I love songs that encourage intimacy with the Lord.
Your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable
God.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns
unstoppable God.
We'll shout your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable
Nothing
God,
shall be
that
impossible.
Go
your kingdom
on.
Reigns unstoppable.
Impossible.
We'll praise forevermore, Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. One more time. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name they shall be done.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause for our unstoppable God.
Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you. Father, you're welcome in this place today. We gather together in the name of Jesus. Got a quick one today. I wanted to just touch on something and see what God's kind of going to say about some stuff. If you can read these slides, if you can't, folks, I'll read them out for the people online. But let's go ahead and do this. Let's as followers of God, or even as people who are considering having their spiritual life ignited by the Lord, we're commanded right here If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And the thing about all this is, like, anybody who has been wounded by other people, or especially other people who call themselves Christians, that's all of us, by the way. That is not a unique story. We're flawed human beings. We're his kids, not him. But this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the fact that we are called to live in peace as far as it depends on us. And let's do the next one, please. And that was, of course, a teaching book in Romans. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Holiness is to be set apart, to be different. Just because your entire family decided to hold grudges for 10 years at a time and brotherhood and sisterhood is torn apart, live at peace with all men and be separate. Come out from that. Break that chain. That's what that means. Y'all think holy means good. Well, that's part of it. That's not necessarily what it means. Holy means set apart. Father, you are holy. You're not like us. You're not one of us. No one can even be around. You're holy. You're set apart. You're different. So he's saying, number one, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be separate, to be holy. Because without this separateness, with you being mixed among the goats and the sheep and just living life that way, you're not going to see the Lord. You're certainly not going to see the Lord at work in your family. Wow, I'm coming in hot fast. That's good. I like it. Something's humming up here. Hum. He doesn't have a lot of focus. No, I do not. That's part of it. So listen, I want to do this. I'm just going to give you some coaching today. Who am I? I'm just some dude, but God's given me some wisdom, I think. So I want to do this. I feel like it's important that we learn how to have Christ-like, that's Jesus, of course. It's not his last name. It's his title. Be like Jesus in conflict and learn how to have Christ-like conflict in this world. Because here's the thing. Conflict is going to come. And Jesus talked about it all the time because he knows that life is just full of conflict after conflict after conflict. So let me drop something on you really quickly. Let yourself be hit by these today because nobody's coming at you, but let yourself really take these things in because there's some mindsets that'll hold us back, okay? That's my goal here today. Number one, conflict can be good. Not all conflict is bad. Lots of us grew up in places where we just thought conflict, yucky. But let's tear that down with God's truth. Let's look at this from Ecclesiastes. You'll recognize this from the bird song. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die. It's natural. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. I think we got one more. A time to search and a time to stop doing that. A time to keep and a time to throw away. That's good. A time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war, and a time for peace. Some of us grew up in houses that would argue what God just said. We would look God in the face and say, war's bad. Hatred's bad. And God goes, no, there's appointed times for those things. You're going to spend the rest of your life figuring out what those times are, but I did not create anything that is inherently bad. In fact, what did he say when it was all created? Anybody? It is good. Now, don't twist the fact that, now, I don't want to get too deep theologically here, but all things can be redeemed back to God because they all originate in God. And if you're into, like I say, science, theory of interconnectivity, we all share the same atoms, particles, blah, 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 because we came from Creator God. Life was in Jesus. But anyway, I was talking to a guy one time, and we were doing spiritual counsel, and this individual was a really nice person, grew up with a really quiet family. Just a great guy. And, you know, there's this type of guy who, unlike myself, not going to really gather enemies throughout his life because he's a peaceful dude. But inside, there were some really deep wounds there. And how many people know sometimes that when you stuff some certain things down, that levee will break, okay? Or in that process, who was it saying this? Oh, I think it was you saying this, like, women especially who decide to stuff things down. Men do it too, but now women are doing it more. Stuffing things down and it manifests in angina and indigestion. And okay, we're doing this, but how many people know that doesn't mean there's not a wound there? There is the wound there. So listen, long story short, after three or four really intense opening up things, he says, I really just hate conflict. I hate conflict. I avoid conflict at all costs. Conflict is bad. And God gave me the wisdom in the moment. I said, hold on, can you open up to Ecclesiastes, please? And he did. And I said, can you read that? He says, yeah. I said, what do you make of that? Oh boy, he says. I'm like, okay. The fact that you've lived out this lie that all conflict is bad has led you to this place of suffering. Okay, how many people know behavior doesn't change until thinking changes? Do you know that? That's good. Where the mind goes, the man follows. So him thinking that conflict was always bad led him to not get engaged in healthy Christ-like conflict, and therefore these festering wounds just stayed there. But it was all rooted in a lie. It was all rooted in the fact that he thought conflict was bad. It's not necessarily true. Let me show you something. Ready? I'm going to just blow this out of the water. Ready? Okay, I wrote this well. Conflict is actually a clash of competing forces. You may think that talking to someone about something that happened or something you need, that that's conflict. No, it's not. Conflict is the behavior. The conversation that you're avoiding and calling conflict is not conflict. It's the opportunity for conflict resolution. Here's what I mean. If all week I've acted selfishly and been mean to Melanie, and she wants to point it out for me and give me a chance to change and let me know I'm doing some stuff wrong, the conflict is not the hard conversation. Do you understand that? The conflict was all week the behavior that didn't line up. Does that make sense? So if Bill comes up and he slaps AJ in the face, conflict is not me going, Bill, I didn't appreciate that. That's not, people don't do that. Like, that's inappropriate behavior. That's not the conflict. The conflict was the slapping. The conflict was the mean word said at the dinner table. The conflict was the rude look. That's the conflict. I just don't like conflict. Now you know you can't even say that because conflict just comes. It happens. It's part of living with other stinky, fleshed humans, especially. You can have conflict with your dog. Anybody ever have conflict with their dog? I had this dog. Yeah, like, I had this. I saw a meme and it so reminded me of someone. They're like, I was at the dog park with this guy, and I walked over near this guy, and I heard him under his breath say, hey, we talked about this, now be good. I'll go off for a second. My brother had a dog named Bear. Bear was not big. Bear was about this big. But he was a smart dog. He looked like a little fox, didn't he? He looked like a fox. Well, I didn't have anything else going on at the time in my life. So he and I got real close, right? But there was like a week where we just did not get along. And Nick would end up yelling at us like, you two, knock it off. I'm like, he's looking at me. And the dog just gives me that and a growl. We got into an actual fight and it ended up with a broken fan where Bear was running away from me. But you can have conflict with your dog. I mean, no, I broke the fan. I ran into the fan and the fan hit me and he won. So don't feel bad for him. But yeah, so you can have conflict all the time. And conflict is not the, we got to have a conversation. That's conflict resolution. Conflict is what happens when two things rub together like that. Does that make sense? So stop saying I just don't like conflict, because conflict's going to come. Nobody likes conflict. But the opportunity to talk about it and have behavior change, that's a godly opportunity. I've said this before, man. There are people in my life who never said to me, hey, AJ, when you said or when you did, they've never brought it to me because they don't like conflict. And they robbed me of the opportunity to make peace. They robbed me of the opportunity to bring the relationship higher. How many men know? This is what's cool about being a man to a degree. Lots of men. Well, Shana, we'll talk about this. Not that we've ever had conflict, because we haven't. But if Shana and I had conflict, we'd probably have it out and then be closer for it. It's not men. You punch each other. I respect you, bro. Respect you, bro. Right? I respect the way you did that, and you're closer than ever before. But if you don't bring that up in the name of conflict resolution, you're limiting the relationship. Is that good or what? You're always closer to someone after you've been through some stuff. But all of us go, I just don't like conflict. I'm not going to bring you the stuff. And we wonder sometimes where we don't have lasting relationships and friendships that we need in this life. It's good so far, man. It's better than I thought it'd be. If we live in a place where conflict is bad, we're not going to do it, right? And Jesus intended us to do as he did with this, to deal with things as God does this. So let's move on. Let me look at this. What does it look like? We're going to do some practical stuff here. This is Matthew. You all know this is a biography of Jesus. If conflict comes and your brother actually sins against you, he's wrong, says Jesus. Here's what you're going to do as my follower. Go and give him the opportunity. This is just what I'm talking about. This is crazy how it's coming together, Brittany. Go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. Not on your Facebook. Not to other family members. Not to the coworker. No, write to them, tough guy. Because if it... All right, sorry. That bothers me, because how many people know that this is the main area the devil uses for offense and broken relationships and woundings? If you would just come to me, man, but it gets bigger and bigger and grows in the darkness, doesn't it? It always does. Jesus, your God, the living God, the only God our universe actually has, just says, hey, guys, here's how you can avoid lots of heartache in your families and your workplace and your friendships. If someone hurts you, go and tell them about it. They might not even know. And just between the two of you, keep other people out. But I know how you are, so I'm not going to give you just a plan A. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. This is great. I love when that happens. But, but if you won't listen, you still don't jump on your Facebook. You still don't get other family members against that family member. Here's what you do. You take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. In other words, they might not believe you when you say, you blah, 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 this and this. But if Uncle Ernie's next to you and he likes Uncle Ernie and Uncle Ernie goes, no, Margaret, it's true. Sometimes, you know, blah, blah. Okay, maybe they'll be won over that way. Let's do the next one, please. And if he refuses to even listen to the body, then guess what? There is a back exit. Pretty much kick him out. If someone is that adamant against conflict resolution and really hates peace that much when he's supposed to love people, there is a consequence, guys. Now listen, real quick. Because remember, if you hear something and see something that doesn't look like the loving, good father, who's also great, what must someone's heart position be when they refuse to listen to someone they love, refuse to listen to three people they love, refuse to listen to everybody who represents authority over them? At that point, guys, and I can tell you this as a spiritual leader, cancer needs to be cut out of the body at times. Sorry. You don't have to like it. God didn't call you to lead over people and cut cancer out, but it's true. If you got someone who's so adamant against peace, you'll know. You'll know. Do everything you can. What did Jesus say? As far as it relies on you. But life is full of some people who, you know, they're not gonna let this happen. So don't get all weird that Jesus just said this. Treat them as you would someone who's not a part of the church, who's not in spiritual, and treat them as someone who's robbing from his own people. Treat him as such. And you want to know why he's saying that? This is good. Hold on. Let me write this out. Jesus says, but I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Remember he says that? He did not say don't have enemies. Have we talked about this? Jesus did not say don't have enemies. He's telling us be wise with where people are in your life or where people are. If you have someone who's abusive and you're trusting them, they can't stay in that position. We talked about proper relationship placement as well, right? Going to a cactus for cuddles. And a fern for nectar. I know this is a lot, guys. I'm sorry. What I don't like, though, is the way you reacted to Jesus saying this. There is a limit to your peacemaking abilities as much as it depends on them. Let's wrap this one section up by saying this. Prayerfully desire peace, okay? And if ever there's a time when you need to stop yourself from being hurt by someone who's abusive or taking advantage of you, this is what this picture is. God will give you the release to do that. Do you understand? Let me give you one more thing that may help you. When it comes to your family, AJ, you just don't know my situation for what you're about to say. Just, I promise you, this is the best wisdom I can give you. When it comes to people in your family, you're allowed to close the door, but you're not allowed to lock it. Take that and go. Church dismissed. If someone is continuously hurting you or your family members, they're abusive, they're not, you can shut the door, but you cannot lock it. Because if ever there is a time when someone desires peace, that door swings right back open. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting to be reconciled to you. But I wasn't going to let you continue hurting my family and treat me this way and do stuff that's so anti the way God says family's supposed to be. Make sense? I hope that heals. Lots of us feel like I can't because God said God. No, God didn't say that. This is what God actually said. Not all conflict is bad. Conflict is the battleground that God's will can be manifest. So as with so many things, this is a heart issue, guys. Conflict and learning how to submit and do things God's way is a heart issue. It's surrendering what we want, the what about me part of us. The I know, right? It really is. And we're called by God to learn how to conflict with others in a way that honors him and honors those people. God cares how we interact with his other people. Let's look at iron sharpens iron, this next one. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Everybody loves this passage for why it's important, guys, to have friends in your life that can sit at the table of your life and say, whoa, Don't go talking to her. Don't blow up your life this way, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know what I mean? In every area. But, Shainer, what happens when you sharpen a knife? When you drag that edge across something harder, you lose pieces of the first knife, don't you? The pieces that are keeping it back from being its sharpest edge go bye-bye. Iron sharpens iron because in conflict, guys, the pieces of you that are holding the best you back will fall away. For example, in conflict is where I learn I can't talk like this to my wife. I can't do it. See the difference? So that part of me, that little out of control part, dies, and I'm sharper. With my kids, I have to watch a certain tone or body posture, right? Or shortness and sharpness. I learned that when Melanie brings it to me, this isn't conflict, what I just did was conflict, and says, hey, that part of you, if you let it, let's let that fall away so that the better part of you remains. And that's what conflict's all about. And it just says right here, as iron sharpens iron, you need another person. This is where this happens. This is conflict. I think that's really good, guys. A couple other things to think about. I told you we're going to go short today. Is this. When you enter into conflict resolution, when you feel like conflict happens, a good question for you to ask yourself is this. What are you fighting for? Because often in my life, I've seen that my motive is just to have things go the way I picture them. Or the way I want them to go. How I think things should be. And honestly, guys, that's not... I think that'd be a big warning sign. Like a yellow light. Wait. So you're fighting this person you're supposed to love, that's your teammate, but you're fighting them because of what? Oh, not for the greater outcome of the family, but just because that's the way you pictured it and you wanted it to go. So that's how you're entering into conflict resolution? Was there really conflict at all? Oh, this is good. It's conflicting with the way you thought it would be. The conflict is actually inside of you. Wow. Can I think about that for a second? It makes sense. It's not, I mean, I have this sometimes. Little kids, Sharon's not here, but it's our kids sometimes, the way things are supposed to be, right? No, this is the way it's supposed to be. And then life says, you can't always have it, the red, blue, and green, or that fork, or that plate, or that toy, because she's playing with it. They go, but it doesn't line up with what I think it should be, so therefore the world is in conflict. And you're like, no, dude. You're in conflict. Do you understand what I'm saying? Izzy's playing with that toy. You just decided, me want that toy. Now the world is spinning around and there's conflict. No, bro. It's just not going the way you want. Well, add 140 pounds in 30-something years, and I still act that way. Sometimes. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're not doing it right. We've talked about it before when it comes to vacuuming or mowing. You're not doing it right. It's conflict. With what? The way I thought it should be. So the question is this, is that where you fight those you love? Is that where we enter into that? Or do we understand at that point, I'm fighting for, my motives are not really noble motives. Can we get there at times? And maybe we wage that conflict inside instead of spewing it out on the person who's doing things the way we didn't think that it should go. He's getting me. It's worth it. Thanks, Bri. Sometimes you got to understand this. Who are you fighting? I told you this before in counseling. One of the greatest things you can do is sit there and look and go, you look at him. Him look at you. They're not the enemy. When you get sick, who's going to be by your hospital side? That person. They're not the enemy. Can you remember that? And it's almost like scales fall off eyes and they go, I've been fighting you for so long. Yeah, no, that's cool. But you could have been fighting the selfishness. You could have been fighting the words, the behaviors. But you started to believe the lie that he was the enemy. But that's your husband, man. Do you remember a while ago you put on that fancy dress and you walked down the aisle and you said, this is what got me this week. Not that we're in crisis or anything, but good reminders. You married who you married because there was a time when there was something about him, there was something about her that you chose. And that hasn't necessarily changed. Because we start to believe, I'm just going to go off for a second and help some marriages for a sec. The kids come along, you move houses, you get a different, and the person seems to be, they grow, I get it and all that, but it's so true, isn't it, at times? We chose each other. That hasn't changed. There was something about her, and there was something about me that said, I want to spend the rest of my life side by side with you. And did that just dissolve? Did it get buried under other things? Did you start believing the lie that I'm the enemy because I bring conflict to you? And I rewound a little bit, and just hearing that set me free this week. Now, again, not that we're in crisis, but I listen to stuff before we get in crisis. That's the woman I married 10 years ago. There was something about her that said all other women that I've ever met on this planet, no, but you, yes. And has what has happened so drastically? Has something happened so drastically that... No, it hasn't. But maybe I shifted my focus and started to believe she's my enemy. She brings conflict to me. Well, yeah, that's life. But I made my choices. But anyway. Sometimes you got to know, who are you fighting? Your spouse and kids are never the enemy. We get in trouble when we view others as the enemy. They're your teammate. The problem is the lack of eye to eye. The problem is the lack of how to do this, how to live in harmony. Do you understand that? So many times, guys, especially with marriages and in households, I'm no expert, dude, but I've seen God put together a lot of marriages back together and realize this. The way your house runs, that's the problem. What do I always say, guys? If you aim at I don't know, you get mediocrity or worse, calamity. Like, what are the rules about how you talk to each other? Families, not just husband and wife. What are the rules about how you talk to each other? I don't know. So you wonder why conflict comes, because one of you thinks it's okay to talk this way, the other person doesn't, and you never made a rule. How would that work in your workplace? It doesn't work, right? Because people will be constantly line-stepping and going, I don't know where the line is. And, you know? You wonder why we start viewing each other as the enemies. What did I tell you before, too? Here should be a rule in your life. If you're driving home and you're all pressured up, take another lap. Don't spew out onto your family. Let the pressure gauge come back down first, because they don't deserve that. They're not your enemy. Right? But if you haven't set up those rules or boundaries, you're just going to end up with, I don't know. Sometimes you got to know what other people are fighting. Sometimes you find yourself in conflict resolution, and there's a hot battle, and you got to understand this. Start looking and go, are they fighting me? Is there something I may have done where they're just fighting me, or are we aiming toward solving a problem? Does that make sense? I've done that before. Like, you're not really mad at me about this, are you? You're mad at me about something else, or what are you really working through? Because that's one of those things. As much as it depends on you, live in peace. Sometimes you got to take the lead. Somebody who's not as emotionally aware, I guess. You know what I'm trying to say? Or doesn't talk so well. Sometimes you got to go, did you have a really bad day? Or, did they make that decision at work about, did you not get that? Does that make sense, guys? They start fighting you really hard, and you're like, whoa, this isn't about me. This is way too big. As far as it depends on you, de-escalate the situation. Absolutely. Okay, my final-ish point, I think. Don't I always say that? Somebody busted me on that. They're like, oh, yeah, one more point. Was it Walt ripping on me when we were doing... Was he? Mr. One Last Point, 3 points ago, I think he says. And I said, guilty. And Carl smiled because he probably agrees with him. All right, so. Okay, we can do this. Conflict. The mastery of conflict comes from mastery of yourself. Sounds very Bruce Lee, doesn't it? Mastery of conflict, mastery of yourself. That can only be accomplished in full submission to God. And here's what I mean. Full humility. If you could really go into a conversation with the attitude of, well, here's what I think, but honestly, I'm just one person. Isn't that a place where conflict can be healthy? Isn't that a healthier thing? This is what I think, but honestly, I'm just one person. I think how tightly you hold on to things matters how much you're shaken. Conflict is actually a close relative of pride. Resolution, that stuff, is quite a close relative of pride. You know best, and you're willing to fight to prove it to them and to you. And honestly, it kind of has a smell of pride. And you know the only place you got to go for this? Right to Facebook. That's all you got to do. You got to go right to Facebook and go, okay, ready? Let's walk this through. go to one of the first posts and you'll see this. This is my opinion about stuff, and I'm right. Of course I'm right. And let me be a little snarky while I'm at it. And everybody wants to hear my real, thoughts about this and all that. But you want to hear what my thoughts are about this as a man who chooses to not do this on Facebook a lot? This is my real thoughts. I would say forgive me, but I'm supposed to speak the truth in love. Ready? When I see posts about how bad this politician is or whatever, what you think, here's my position about this. And I mean this with the greatest deal of love for you people who also post on Facebook, but who cares what you think? That's my actual honest question. I'm not being mean. I'm not being tough. I'm actually saying, no, who in your life actually is going to say, thanks, Brittany, for posting your really overt opinion. I needed that today. My life is better for it. Come on, guys, really, break this down. This is about humility. Let me get real for a second. If you're going to post about flags and tensions between North and South and our president or our governor, that was close to my heart, economic policies and all this, and you're basing your opinion on what? You ready for this? I'm gonna force feed you some humility. Is it your expertise on foreign policy? Your firm grasp of economics? or the fact that you've read both sides of history and you've studied it extensively, Dr. Brian, to be able to post, this is my opinion, right? And again, I step back and go, who cares what you think? Now, granted, listen, if I want to know about something and get myself educated, because that's a smart citizen, right? You know who I'm going to go to? The people who have done the work, looked at both angles, who don't have an axe to grind on that three-lettered network or this and friends. I'm not going to go to those people. I'm going to go to Dr. So-and-so at such-and-such and read his article about it, right? Or I'm going to put on CNN for 10 minutes and then Fox News. Because if I'm only watching one of them, come on, guys. Really? We're supposed to be responsible citizens. Because again, who cares? And I watch the guys on the people on TV and I'm going, there's a few people I trust, but otherwise I'm going, what's your motive for being on there right now? Oh, because you really hate that person. You want to present this other argument. You ever notice life is full of that? Actually, I'm just sparing. I just watched a documentary that I would very much recommend called The Red Pill. This feminist saw the world one way, and through the process of the documentary, completely changed her stance. And good for you that you'd be pliable to do that. But I had to turn it off. I'm like, we are so... Is it because we all have our own little pulpits now called Facebook and Twitter and whatever other stuff I lost touch of 10 years ago? Is it because we literally bought the lie that people care what you think? No, seriously, come on, guys. Yeah, nobody likes what I'm saying because it's so true. Somebody said, Mark Zuckerberg said, Brian, I will let you, I mean, I'm not going to teach you how to be responsible with it, but all your friends and family, jam what you think down their throat. Ready? Go! You have your own personal pulpit. And everybody you meet nowadays, too. I hang out with some college kids, and they like 1,500 friends and everything, and they creep each other's Facebook and all that. Well, now all of a sudden, what you've got to say, you bought the lie that everybody cares what you think or should care what you think. Do you understand what I'm doing? I'm just taking the pride element out of it because we're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be different than that. I'll tell you who cares what you think when they ask you. And when you walk softly, this is not Bible, it's an allegory. When you walk softly and carry a very well-educated stick and have opinions, that's when you can really help people. And guess when your opinions matter? In relationship. Don't buy the lie that somebody on your screen actually cares about you. Because you know what ends up happening? The next issue you post about that all those people are rallying you, they will destroy you on Facebook. Anybody been a part of that? Like, oh, that was mean. You stepped up like you were somebody and they treated you like somebody. I heard a line from a movie one time and I love it. It says, a man's game requires a man's wage before that guy beat the snot out of somebody else. That's good. No, you want to step up and you want to be a leader and you think everybody cares, get ready for disagreements. Get ready for people to cut you when they feel strongly on the other side. You understand? Or as much as it relies on you, live in peace. And lots of times that just means this. Ready? So hard. Or closey laptop or locky phone. I'm just telling you, saving you some stuff, man. I'm saving you some stuff. Okay, so I got one other thing I want to confess to you. No, this is one of those stories. This is how I screwed this up. You want to hear this? I'm trying to stay away from the pride thing, but I had a really good point. All right, some other time. Most conflict, the most unnecessary, ungodly conflict, I have to tell you, in life is based on I. And sometimes figuring it out really isn't, it really can take the potency of the wound and conflict away. Now here's what I mean, and then we'll be done. I have conflict inside of me with my neighbors. My actual neighbors. Bill, was I not just popping off and venting about this? Oh boy. And I'm not a quiet type of guy. Let me tell you the story. Okay, so if you've ever been to my house, if anybody wants blueberries, guys, not you people, remind me after. With the seeds, she said, did he tell you? Y'all could pick a 5-gallon bucket and we wouldn't be done. He made a pie. Awesome. Okay, so listen. So we live, you know, way back in the woods, but there's this strip of lawn, which I enjoy mowing. And as a man, I take, you know, pride in that. I do. It's funny because when relatives are going to come over, she goes, stresses in the house. I'm like, I got to get on a mower. Isn't that funny about a guy? She didn't care what the landscaping looked. I do. Anyway, so all of a sudden I start noticing, and I guess if this goes, I'll wrap it up well, but it's dangerous because these people could just get the video. All of a sudden I start to see tire tracks across my lawn all the time. Because my driveway's kind of next to theirs. Kind of. With my lawn in between. And certain people thought it was just okay, without asking me, to just use my driveway. And I'm like, wow, that smells like disrespect so bad. And therefore, I was like, babe, tell me not to go down there now. Because I've learned enough. And I'll be nice, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to yell. I'll hide the pistol. Like, we're not going to break any laws. Mom just closed her eyes. But she did. She was like, well, just think about this, and this. I was like, okay. So she's talked me down from the ledge. Now, this has been going on for what? 3 years? And I'm not stuffing. I'm not doing that. I'm not. Because I've chosen to have conversations with them. And when I see it, I'll just move forward. What really bugs me, Carl, is when I'm on the riding lawnmower and they've dug up my lawn and it goes bam, bam, bam. Oh, anybody remember I had a herniated disc? Oh my God. Because their teenage son decided to use my yard without asking me. Every man in here is going, yeah, not cool, right? Yeah, not cool. So it happened again, and this time it marred my lawn. And I'm like, enough. I'm going to go down. And another thing, every time I go down there, there's a big pack of them. And that's okay by me, but then I know in conflict that would escalate the thing. Because if so-and-so thought I disrespected so-and-so, it's a problem, right? I mean, come on, as a cop, you know this. You're walking into a group of people, it's like, this is bad. Now you take Mr. Hothead and put it, make me just him, he'd be, yes, sir, no, sir, wouldn't he? But around his pals, that's how it always is. I don't mind being outnumbered. It's bad for them, not me. So anyway, where am I going? Okay. It ends in a good place. Sometimes understanding the conflict within you will help diffuse a conflict. This is 3 years of tightness. And God keeps on me about it. He won't let me stick with it. He won't. Because I'm losing sleep at night sometimes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're doing the very same thing I tell you not to do. Guilty. But listen to this. Talking to my buddy Pete, because life is done best in relationships and iron sharpens iron. Here's the perfect example. And he goes, why does it bother you so much? I was like, bro, that's the dumbest question you've ever heard. Of course it bothers me. And I talked to him. He goes, and? And I'm like, well, and I also don't like this about them and the way they treat their goats, chickens. It's true. And he's like, and? And I'm like, I just don't like them. He goes, there you go. You just don't like the people. I was like, I feel so much better. The conflict that was inside of me was not about the disrespect. It was not about the, because you know what? It's Parrishville's all sand. You're not really going to wreck my lawn. I just didn't like them doing it because I don't like them. Or at that time didn't or chose not to. They're decent people. I don't know. You know, I haven't had a problem since. Oh, and I've seen more tracks. But the heart rate doesn't get up anymore. The adrenaline stays where it belongs. I realize, guys, if I examine my conflict with someone else, it actually was a conflict I had with me. And I was able to just take that stronghold. It had become a stronghold where the enemy got this foothold. He's like, I'm going to take your joy. I'm going to take the peace between the two of you. And you're just inevitably going to have a fight about this. I don't care how confident you are, AG, that you win. I'm pretty confident. But I'm just saying, a side note. Once I realized that that conflict was actually inside of me, guess what? I'm free to not have conflict with them anymore. So the resolution didn't actually need to be done with a conversation. It needed to be done with a conversation right here. So I went the other day. Bill was there. Went over and actually talked to the guy. Congratulated him on something. Blessed him. No problem. It wasn't fake. It wasn't phony. We're good. Because God revealed it inside of me through Pete. I said it out loud and it broke it off me, guys. A lot of conflict is built on I. I felt disrespected. I didn't like them. Well, guess what? I can choose to like them and I can choose to not feel disrespected and be unoffendable. And that's where I live now. And I hope it continues. I do. Until the next thing happens, right? But so, guys, this week, you know, I always give you an application because if not, Brian, why are we here? Funny stories for an hour, like, you know, this week, how about this? When conflict arises, just watch and see. Do you avoid the good that can come because of conflict resolution? Because you don't want to have to deal with it? Or do you speak the truth in love? What's your default? By Thursday, by Friday, you should see. What's your default? Just learn about you this week. And when we enter into conflict resolution or verbal disagreement, what's your general stance? Are we fighting the problem? Are we falling into the trap of fighting those we are supposed to be loving because things just didn't go the way we wanted them to? Then you, who are big boys and girls, start praying about this, man. If you see an unhealthy tendency, bring it to God. And just like he did with me and my neighbor, he'll show me ways to get it in line with him and to be obedient. Worship team, let's sing about how the resurrected king is resurrecting me. That's actually what we're talking about today. taking the good parts of me and giving them more power and putting down the parts that don't line up with him. The resurrected king is Oh, I moved your stand over there.
It was in the way of the projector, sorry. When we moved it.
Excited about this. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Fear that held us now gives way to him who is our peace. His final breath upon that cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
By your
royal spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me, and in your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Resurrecting me. Let's sing about this. The tomb where life itself was laid was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. And your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. And all praise will rise to Christ our King. Yes, it will. And by your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Resurrecting me.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. At first we thought that you telling us to come out and be holy was a hard command. But you're telling us live like you, not like everybody else. And you tell us that you'd give us the power. You're giving us the power to do this. So, Father, we just want to confess, Lord, that we've not done this right. None of us in this room have done this right the way you've commanded it. But today, Father, we choose to receive what you've said to us today. We commit to working with you, Lord God, and monitoring this week how we go about conflict? Do we avoid conflict? What are our motives for conflict? We want to surrender this to you, Father, because every person on the other end of conflict is another one of your children. And I have a feeling that that's why you're so serious about it. So we do. We commit ourselves to you today, Father, fresh and new. Please be with us this week in a tangible way, Lord. Teach us what you'd have us to learn. Comfort us. Provide us with your peace. You're the one true God, and we are your children. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus, we love you, worship you, and pray. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great week.